You're listening to local and regional news produced by KMUN with help from our news partners. I'm Katie Frankowitz, and I'll soon be joined by my co-host, Skylar Butenshin. It's Friday, June 20th. Two recent ballot measures in Cannon Beach were incorrectly labeled. Both were focused on voter approval for incurring debt. Measure 04-236 was a countermeasure that the city introduced in response to a measure introduced by residents that would have required a public vote on all non-emergency debts, bonds, or financing agreements exceeding 50% of government activity revenues from the past year. This residents' measure would have taken decision-making power from the City Council and given voters more say on spending for city projects. The city's countermeasure sought to clarify the existing charter language about when the City Council may approve debt without voter approval. On election night in May, it looked like the residents' measure was narrowly passing, but in fact, the opposite was true. According to Clatsop County Elections, vote counts on the two measures were incorrectly labeled. The official final result shows that the countermeasure introduced by the city is in fact the one that has passed. County election officials emphasized that vote counts were not affected. The discrepancy only involved labels, not vote totals. This story comes to us through a news partnership with The Astorian, online at dailyastorian.com.
Northwest Oregon's fire season officially begins on Monday. While forecasters are predicting some rain over the next few days, there will be a return to warm, dry conditions next week. The fire season declaration from the Oregon Department of Forestry affects all lands, both public and private, in Northwest Oregon. Public use restriction levels move from low or green to extreme, marked as red. These are indicated on fire information boards at major roads entering forested areas. As a burn ban will also go into effect for the region, open debris burning will not be allowed starting next week. Burn barrels will require a burning permit, which can be obtained through the Oregon Department of Forestry or a local fire department, depending on the location of the residence. For all up-to-date fire restrictions and information, go online at oregon.gov/ODF. Last week, a bill passed out of Oregon's House Revenue Committee that would restructure the restrictions on the spending of transient lodging tax dollars. The latest proposal would allow cities and counties unrestricted control over 60% of transient lodging tax funds. State Representative Cyrus Javity has been pushing for a change to the tax throughout this year's legislative session, and he says he's optimistic that the proposal will move forward. Two of Javity's initial bills on the issue died in the General Government Committee early in the season. Then last month, Democratic Representative Jules Walters revived the discussion, dedicating one of her five priority bills to redefining the allowable uses of restricted transient lodging tax funds. The bill now heads to the floor of the House for a vote this week. Javity says the bill will likely need bipartisan support in both chambers. This story comes to us through a news partnership with the Tillamook Headlight Herald. Read more online at tillamookheadlightherald.com. The Port of Peninsula in Pacific County was informed earlier this month that it's at risk of losing its insurance coverage due to findings from last year's state audit and ongoing financial mismanagement. The Port of Peninsula's insurance provider, Enduris Washington, said in a recent letter that the port has been, quote, habitually delinquent in making its financial contributions to its risk pool. On top of that, a former fuel provider to the port, Will Cox and Flegel, is now in the early stage of taking legal action against the port for outstanding bills, allegedly more than $20,000. But port manager Jay Personius has remained adamant the bill is wrong. This story comes to us through a news partnership with the Chinook Observer, online at chinookobserver.com. Last week, the Trump administration revoked California's rules on electric vehicles, and with them, those of 10 other states, including Washington. The states immediately responded with a lawsuit, but in the meantime, Washington policy experts who support the transition to EVs are hopeful. KNKX environment reporter Bellamy Palethorpe has more.
By state law, Washington has to reduce its greenhouse gas emissions to 45% below 1990 levels by 2030. So the state has numerous policies meant to get more electric vehicles on our roads because they're a huge part of meeting that goal.
This sort of step back from the federal government is going to be a bump in the road, but it's certainly not going to be a U-turn in our transition to electric vehicles.
Michael Mann is executive director of the nonprofit Clean and Prosperous Washington. He says even without California's lead, there's enough momentum to keep things going in Washington.
We may see one or two less vehicles in the marketplace, but there's already a substantial variety of vehicles for people to choose from now.
Last year in Washington, EVs and plug-in hybrids made up 20% of new car sales. I'm Bellamy Palethorpe reporting.
Oregon lawmakers have approved a bill that would create new fines for mishandling sick farm animals. KLCC's Nathan Wilk reports.
Oregon law already requires businesses to quarantine diseased livestock and lets the state order their treatment or euthanization. But regulators say if someone refuses to follow the law, the state has to rely on a criminal process to get them to comply. SB 832 would create accompanying civil penalties. Oregon Department of Agriculture Director Lisa Sharpelow Hansen spoke in support of the bill at a Senate hearing.
It's not about adding regulation. It's about adjusting a tool in the toolkit to assure compliance with our laws.
The bill would also create new civil fines around animal feed production and feeding pigs potentially hazardous garbage. The measure passed both chambers with broad bipartisan support and now awaits Governor Tina Kotek's signature. This is Nathan Wilk reporting.
The Oregon Shakespeare Festival's executive director is stepping down from her position after just 7 months at the organization. Gabriella Colicchio came to the Ashland-based theater company in November from Marin County in California. The announcement was made in an email sent to major donors last week. The organization would not share the contents of the email, but confirmed that Colicchio is on personal leave until her last day on July 1st. A reason for her departure was not given. The theater company said that an official announcement and details about an interim transition plan will be coming in the next few days. The organization struggled to make it through the pandemic and is only now returning to a full suite of shows this year.
You're listening to news from KMUN. To hear us on the air and catch national news from NPR, tune in to 91.9 FM. Morning news begins at 7:59 every weekday. And of course, you'll always find today's local and regional news here at KMUN.org. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.